to Book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a very appropriate book for us to study. Jeremiah is written in the final years of the apostasy of Judah, and the conditions in the land, the conditions of the people, the circumstances that reveal the spiritual underpinnings of the apostasy are very clear in the book of Jeremiah. And of course, this morning, in Sunday school, we emphasized how that in the days of Jeremiah, just like today, the people of God, instead of looking to God, were looking to political solutions to their deliverance. And they were depending on foreign nations to be their deliverer. And they ignored totally that the problem that they were in is because of their sin, and that they needed to, instead of looking to foreign and political allies for their safety, they needed to repent and look to God. And of course, that's exactly where we are today. You know, the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This isn't working? Oh, my battery's dead? Okay. So one of the things that we'll learn tonight and emphasize is that the days of apostasy are days of deceit. Jeremiah chapter 17. This doesn't seem like this one's even on either. Maybe I, okay, here we go. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As you look in the Bible, you'll realize that as the Bible speaks of the apostasy of the last days, in which we are definitely in, that deception is a very real part of it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that in the last days perilous times shall come. And he describes the characteristics of the hour of the final days of the apostasy, great spiritual danger. And and as it goes on, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that's one of the reasons people don't want to live godly today. They don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to have the scorn of the world. But notice the next verse. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving and being deceived. I was talking to this last week at the university. I try to strike up conversations with the students to get on spiritual things. And every student that I picked, that I started a spiritual conversation, all claim to be saved people. And to one degree or another, they gave some testimony that maybe that was true. But I like asking them questions, yeah, and as the Lord leads. And one of the questions I like to ask those university students is I like to ask them, I say, can you worship a holy God with fleshly, sensual music? And like the most answers I get, the answer was, of course. All that counts is your heart. And I would, and of course I took time to say, do you know what rock musicians say about their music? Do you know that they say that it appeals, it is aimed at the flesh, and that the beat is specifically aimed at the flesh? And the methods that they use with the mic close within the lips are very sensual. And of course, we know the sliding into the notes and out of the notes is a very sensual technique. And it's all employed by the so-called, you know, Christian rock musicians that 99% of these students go to a church that has Christian rock music. Of course, that's hard to say that because, you know, you wouldn't want to say Christian murder, would you? You know, but Christian rock music, how does that fit? That's a misnomer, right? And we had some talk, and he was maybe thinking a little bit. And I says, let me give you an illustration. And he had just told me that he was on the Ultimate Frisbee team at the university. That's one of the sports they have, Ultimate Frisbee. I didn't know that. And he says, when I play Ultimate Frisbee, the other fellas, they drink, you know, after the game or whatever you call that. And he says, but I don't drink. And so it gave me the inroad to say to him, let me give you an illustration of this. I says, do you think maybe it's a deception that people can think that they're worshiping God when they really aren't? And he got to think about that. And I says, well, let me give you another illustration. I says, you know, 100 years ago, almost the majority of born-again Christians believed what the Bible said. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Of course, the Christian temperance movement, prohibition, was all about Christians. And the ill effects of alcohol, and of course the prohibition was passed because of the activism of Christians and the evil of that terrible thing. And then I said to this young man, but you know, 97% of people that call themselves Christians today believe in social drinking. And I says, you know, and pastors of these churches believe in social drinking. And so I said, now, how do you think that maybe these people are deceived? That there's a spirit of deception that is pervading our land today? That what all agreed to be sin in the past now think it's okay? And it got them to do some thinking. Well, the Bible says the last days will be characterized by a spirit of deception. And we realize, we'll be looking at Jeremiah, and we will realize that in Jeremiah, the land was filled with the spirit of deception. Now, one key thing you need to know about deception, right? If you know you're being deceived, it isn't deception. Deception is only when people are being deceived and they don't think they're being deceived. Right? That only qualifies for deception. Now, the Bible tells us that the master deceiver is the devil. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil. That's diabolos. Diabolos. Diabolical. That's pretty evil, isn't it? You know, the devil's got D in front of evil. Did you never notice that? D in front of evil. The devil and Satan. He is the opposer of God, which deceiveth the whole world. Now that's pretty powerful. A pretty astute person of deception that he could deceive the whole world. Now the Bible tells us the last days of Christianity, of purity, of the apostasy, permeating all of Christianity, just like the Lord said, it will be that the whole lump will be leavened. The whole lump will be leavened. And it speaks of the deception of the hour. Now, we want to go to Jeremiah, and we want to see a little insight or a little example of the persuasive the permeation of deception of that day. So Jeremiah chapter 17, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, who can know it? Now, of course, the context of 2 Timothy is deceivers shall wax worse and worse, evil men deceiving and being deceived. And then it's in the context, the answer is, but continue thou in the things which thou hast heard of me. And then it says, and all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness' sake. The answer in the hour of deception is the Bible. The Bible. And I have finally figured out that there's very little Bible knowledge among Christians today. Very, very, very little Bible knowledge among Christians. And I hope that as you come to this church, you aren't just a pew sitter. I hope that you are a seeker after truth, and you listen and you take notes and you hash it over in your mind and you meditate on, and your truth, you're thinking truth in your mind. All right. Of course, you can undo that by filling your life with entertainment and by filling your life with the world and with sin. But you know, isn't it amazing? The Bible is so big. It is so big that, you know, I don't think I preach every verse in the Bible yet, and I've been here 40 years. And you know, we have Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And you know what? We haven't covered the whole Bible yet. But what do you think about these places that they have church once a week? And you know, they have time limit on the preacher. And he can't preach too long. You know what I say? A real Baptist, they go to church to get something. And other religious people, they go to church to get out. You know the difference? They go to church to get out. And they're anxious to get out. They're watching their clock because they didn't go to church to get something. They just went there to put their time in. Now, you can sit here and go through 3-hour sermons, which you haven't yet, I don't think. But if you're not, you know, in connected, you're still not going to learn anything. But now, notice the deception in the land of Israel, chapter 17 and verse 13. We'll look at the context. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Now, chapter 7, I think, is the other half of that truth. Chapter 7, verse 31. No, it's not. The other half of that, in the beginning of Jeremiah, says, they have forsaken me, the living fountain, and they have gone to broken cisterns. You know the difference? A living fountain versus a broken cistern. Now, a broken cistern. Now, a cistern itself isn't living water. It's water, but it's water that has been collected and sitting in there. You know what I'm saying? But that's quite a contrast between a fountain that's giving fresh water versus water that's been stored. But Israel had forsaken God, the fountain of living water, and they had traded it for a broken cistern. You know, a broken cistern is a cistern that collects stale water, but it has a hole in it. And when you go there to get some water, it's gone. It's gone. Now, who would make such a foolish choice? To forsake a living fountain and instead decide that a broken cistern was better? You know who makes that choice? A deceived people. A deceived people. And Israel, instead of depending on and choosing God in obedience, Israel was depending on Egypt for their deliverance from their enemies. And you know what happened? When Babylon came against Jerusalem, did Egypt come through for him? Nope. Egypt didn't come through for him. Now, Egypt is no comparison to God. But even then, they depended on something that was undependable. And you know, the deception of the hour is shown by the choices that people make. What they will choose rather than living for God. How foolish. How foolish. It shows you an hour of deception that people will choose some most worthless thing. Now, I've said this many times. Many times, young people, they choose their friends, and they choose the advice of their friends, and they choose the approval of their friends. But you know, their friends will not be there with them on the day of judgment to deliver them. Their friends will not be there to keep them out of hell. And besides that, their friends aren't going to be around later in life. Just like the drunk has no real friends. And yet, Christian young people And Christian young people are making that kind of decision over and over and over. Choosing their friends and what their friends say and what people are doing. And it's the choices that people make is a testimony of the extent of the deception of the hour of the day. Now, another area of deception is the analyses that people make in their thinking. If you go to chapter 44 in Jeremiah, this is after Jerusalem has been taken and destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and people who have remained in the land, who were the Jews who stayed in the land, Johanan the Ammonite killed Gedaliah, who was the temporary governor, and they said, oh boy, we're in big trouble now. Nebuchadnezzar, he's not going to like us. His governor got killed, and he's going to come, and he's probably going to wipe us out or whatever. And they said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, tell us what we should do. You know, whatever, just find out from God what we should do, and we'll do it. Now, that was a deception right there, because they didn't mean it. They deceived themselves. And you know, a lot of people, that's right. They deceive themselves. They think they think that they're going to do right, but they, when it comes down to it, they're not going to do. Well, anyway, so Jeremiah says, don't go to Egypt. God says, don't go to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. If you go to Egypt, you'll be destroyed. And the people said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, you're lying. You're lying. That's not what is going to happen. If we aren't going to believe you. We're not going to believe you. And so, verse 17, verse 16, it says, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes, in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and we have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Wow. What's he saying? He's saying, you know, when we worship the Queen of Heaven, we were blessed. But when we stopped worshiping the Queen of Heaven, we got judged. And therefore, we're going to go back to worshiping the Queen of Heaven. And because things were well when we worshiped the King, the Queen of Heaven. Now notice the logic. Notice the logic. Why did they get judged? Because they were worshiping the Queen of Heaven. And the Bible says they had as many different idols as they had different cities. And they were living wickedly. But you know, a person who is deceived doesn't think logically. They don't think logically. They deceive themselves. How deceived can you be to think that the very thing that caused your judgment is the thing you should do in order to be blessed? You know, in America, America is blessed because of God. But you know, the Supreme Court decided that we should ban God. Should ban God from the schools. We should ban his prayer from the school. We should ban God from the public forum. We don't want God in our country. That's deception. That's ignoring the facts of history. But you know what? We live in a day of deception. And the thinking, even of Christians today, is very illogical and very self-deceived. And even as Israel, they thought that by following the world, they were going to be blessed. I was looking on the website about Dr. Ron Comfort. And I just happened to get on some site, I don't know what it was. And they says, oh, here's an old fundy mocking him as a fundamentalist. And you know, there's this whole new crowd of so-called Christians that mock righteousness and godliness and holy living. And they're trading God for this newfound, fangled, perverted Christianity. You know, that's deception in their thinking. And you know, the typical guy who does that, you know, it's hard enough to raise kids in these days, but you find the typical pastor who does that, you just look at his kids. They are as worldly and godless as you can get. They traded God for the world. Now, the third thing that we see was that their deception was so real that they would hear, they would hear the false prophets, and they would reject God's prophet. They would hear the false prophets, but they would reject God's prophet. Now, there's a couple examples, but first of all, let's go to chapter 27. And so the third mark of deception is who you listen to. Who you listen to is the mark of deception. Jeremiah 27 verse 9, Jeremiah says, therefore hearken not to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, that I should drive you out and you should perish. Notice, he says, you're listening to those who prophesy a lie. Now, why would people listen to a lie? Why would people listen to a lie? You know, I've always said that it's one thing to tell a lie, but you're of the same character if you believe lies. And the Bible says the same. It's one thing to be a liar, but it's another thing, and it's the same boat to listen to liars. And if you listen to liars, you get a problem. That's called deception. And Israel rejected the truth, and they rejected those who were telling the truth, but they received those who were lying. Now, chapter 28, it says this, and it came to pass the same year in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Now, this was an example. And Hananiah is the example of the positive thinker of the Joel Osteen crowd that only talk about the positive things. They might as well be a motivation speaker. And in fact, there's one big ministry in California that claims to be Fundamental Baptist, and they have one of their bywords is this: we never speak of the negative. We never speak of the negative. We only broadcast the positive. We never speak of the negative. Now, that sounds good. But the Apostle Paul, what did he say? I shun not to declare unto you all the counsel of the Word of God, warning you night and day with tears. Now, Hananiah, he's saying, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be great. Don't listen to this, Jeremiah. I got a word from the Lord. Babylon's going to be defeated. The captives are coming back. Everything's going to be fine. It was a lie. The hour of deception. People hear the false prophets. I was talking to this student, and he said, I said, you know, the church you're going to, the pastor there in 1990 signed the Feminist Manifesto. And I said, you know, the Feminist Manifesto is the fact, the statement that says anything in the Bible that talks about role distinction between men and women, it was only from the setting of the New Testament. It was not meant to be for today. And of course, that church now has women preachers. And this young man, he thought it was pretty good. He says, yeah, now we just made another move. We have women on the board. And I says, you know, the Bible says that woman is not to usurp the authority over a man. And then it gives us 2 historical reasons. Because Adam was first created and then Eve. And that Eve, in the transgression, was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. He gives historical reasons why this is still true today, that a woman is not to be a pastor. And it was interesting, this young man, what he said to me. He says, well, we'll leave that up to the theologians. Oh, really? You know what? A lot of the so-called theologians are trying to explain away the Bible. And I said to him, wait a minute. What does the Bible say? You know what? Theologians aren't our authority, are they? You know who's our authority? The Bible. That's the authority. But it's a parallel, isn't it? It's a parallel. And you look at these guys who are following these big theologians. And don't get me wrong, I got a lot of education. But you know what? I'm not gonna you know, get too wrapped up in that. I don't believe in being uneducated. But you know what? A lot of guys think that being educated is reading some theologian. Well, you know what? Most of these theologians that you're supposed to read 20 years from now, unless they're old guys and they're dead, and you found out they didn't depart from the faith, a lot of these new theologians are just explaining away the Bible. They heard the false prophets, but they rejected God's prophet. The hour of who you listen to. Number four, the hour of deception is they believe the voice of their own heart, but rejected the word of God. They believed the voice of their own heart. You know what the world says? Follow your heart. You believe that? Follow your heart? Well, that's how most people operate, don't they? Follow their heart. That is pretty dangerous. You don't follow your heart. Your heart can be 100% wrong. Chapter 7 and verse 24. It says, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. The counsel of their own heart. You know, there's lots of applications there. But you know, you can't think any better than what you have put into your mind. If you don't have the Bible in your mind, if you don't know the truths of the Bible, what are you going to think? You're going to only think what you got on that computer, right? And so the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And, you know, you talk to people today that are involved in these apostate churches. You know what? You know, this, like this fellow said about this rock music, worshiping God. He says it's just the matter of the intention of your heart. The intention of your heart. And of course, John chapter 4. And I said to him, did God ever reject people's worship? Is there a place in the Bible that God rejected people's worship? Of course, he rejected Cain's worship, didn't he? He rejected the worship of Nadab and Abihu, didn't he? And he told the woman at the well, you worship, but you don't know who. Number five. Deception causes people to misinterpret the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 4. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Know what they're saying? The temple of the Lord. This is God's temple. This is God's temple. God isn't going to allow this temple to be destroyed. This is the dwelling place of the Shekinah glory. God's not going to destroy this temple. Babylon is not going to come in this city and destroy this temple. This is God's temple. Well, it was God's temple. But Jeremiah is saying, just a minute. Just a minute. He said, in other places, he said, don't you remember Shiloh? Don't you remember where the tabernacle of God used to be? Don't you remember that? What happened? The ark was taken. And in the days of Eli, with his two sons who committed wickedness, that was over. And he says, in other places, Jeremiah, he says, you're bringing, and you go to Ezekiel, and God showed Ezekiel, I think it's Ezekiel 8. He said, Ezekiel, come and I want to show you something. And he transported him to Jerusalem. And he says, let me show you what's going on in the temple. And the ancients of the people, the old men, the old divines, they were there gathered, worshiping heathen gods in the temple. And it was a preliminary to telling Ezekiel, showing him that the Shekinah glory was going to leave the temple. And he showed him how it left the temple. It went from the Holy of Holies. It went to the steps of the temple. And then it went outside the city. And then it left because of the wickedness. But the people of Jeremiah's day, oh, this isn't going to happen. This judgment isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Why are you preaching this negative message? God's not going to let it happen. It was a lie. It was going to happen. You can't claim the promises of God when you're in sin. You can't claim the promises of God when you're in sin. The Bible says, and we know all things work together for good for them that, what? Love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Don't claim the promise. If you don't love God, this is the love of God if you keep my commandments. Isn't that what the Bible says? You see, deception causes the people to misinterpret the Bible. Now turn, deception is the root of, was the root of the preaching, the false preaching of the hour, Jeremiah 23. Now, let's see the picture. You got Jeremiah. And there was another prophet. And he left the city and they went and killed him. But Jeremiah is basically alone. Now, Zephaniah was around. And Zephaniah is in this picture. But you have all these voices. You have the priests. You have the prophets. You have all these divines. And what they're saying is the opposite of what Jeremiah is saying. And they're preaching, the Lord told me such. I've gotten this message from God. I'm had direct contact with God. And what does the Lord say? Verse 26, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. They're prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Now, in Richland Center, there was a good Baptist church up at Richland Center, and Mr. Schumacher was saved at that church as a young adult. And he went to Bible college, and I knew him at Bible college. And he was called to the mission field, and he went to Canada. But while he was in Canada, his church got a new pastor. And his pastor, of course, the first thing he did, one of the first, he changed Bible versions. Got rid of the King James. And then he changed the dress standards, kept preaching against worldliness and dress. And then he took, somewhere along there, he took the organ out. And then he took the pews out. And, you know, he had, you know, he was going to make this, you know, one of these mega churches. And Mr. Schumacher came to him and said, "Pastor, what are you doing? What are you doing? The people have become worldly. The good, godly people have left. You have made all these horrible changes." And the pastor said, "I want you to know that everything that I have done has been led of the Holy Spirit." He said, "They prophesy of the deceit of their own heart." Do you believe that? Do you see that? Don't be caught. Don't be deceived. Deception is, the devil is the deceiver. These men, they say God led them? No. They are led by the deception of their own heart. We have this direct parallel of the hour. Jeremiah's day, our day. Change the names, change the places, change the date, but you have the same thing happening again. You know, Jeremiah is the second longest book in the Bible. And you know, if you read it, I think your first reading of Jeremiah would say, why is he saying the same thing over and over and over and over? Why is he just repeating this? Judgment, 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 judgment. You know, why does that thing, why has God give us this huge book in the Bible that just repeats the same message? Of course, hopefully in Sunday school in Jeremiah, we see it isn't just one repetition. It's a many, is there's a historical setting for all of this. But you know, I think it's there for a reason. Lots of reasons. It's for us to be able to see behind the lines of what's happening in the spiritual battles of the hour. It's so that we can see behind the scenes that what took place in the apostasy of Judah and Israel is a picture of what is taking place behind the scenes and in reality in the day in which we live. You know, it's hard to say. It's hard to be dogmatic and say they prophesy of the deceit of their own heart. But you know what they're saying isn't true. But you also know they say that they're getting it from God, right? Exactly what took place in Jeremiah's day. Now, what's the answer? Well, first of all, the answer is the Word of God has been written so we'd have wisdom and that we would not be foolish and have our heads in the sand as though these truths don't apply. Secondly, these truths give us the inside undergirdings of what takes place in the hour of apostasy. And history has already always repeated itself. Thirdly, it's telling us how important it is for us to know the Bible. You know, one with God is a majority. One with God is a majority. Go to the Bible and find out what the Bible says. And really know what God says. And you know, I say that, but I really think that that is really important. And I have to ask you today is, how much do you really believe? How much do you really believe of what the Bible, how much do you really know what the Bible says? Do you really know what God says? Are you really fervent to really find out the truth? Or are you just kind of content? Well, no big deal. No big deal. Let's just be positive. You know what? Let's just be positive. Let's just think on the bright side of things. You know, that preacher I'm telling you about that says that they only talk about the positive. The great number of the children of the faculty of that and heads of that church and college are building big rock music mega churches. Apostasy. There's the other half of the message that we need to apply. The deception of our heart. We need to check our heart by the Bible. Amen? We need to know the Bible. And we need to be able to judge things by the truth of the Bible. And the Bible says what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Young people, you know what? You live in the security of this church. You have no idea the blessings that you are surrounded by. You have no idea. But you need to know the Bible, and you need to meet the God of the Bible yourself. And you need to get some convictions from the Bible and the God of the Bible. Your parents aren't going to be able to lead you if you don't follow them by getting in the Bible and studying the Bible and learning the Bible. Oh, what a great need there is. Young men need to know the Bible. Amen. Every father needs to know the Bible. Every lady needs to know the Bible. You don't be a father that says, well, my wife's got convictions, that's good. I let her lead the family. Oh, man, that's not good, is it? You better have some convictions. Amen? The deception of the hour. We could go on and on, but we'll stop there. I hope that is informative to you tonight. And I hope that in your heart, you're not wrestling with rejecting these important principles. And you know, a lot of people reject the Bible because they have a friend or a relative that's in the middle of it. And they don't want, you know, they don't want to take a stand on the Bible because they just want to kind of fit into life and fit into what's going on and not be, a sore thumb. But that's not how it works. You have to be a man of conviction and a person of truth in this hour. Let's pray. Lord, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And just as Adam and Eve made a horrible choice, Lord, we can make horrible choices. And Lord, help us not to be of that number that follows their heart, a heart that may be totally uninformed by the Bible. Lord, help us to be people who know the truth of the Bible and make sure that we will obey and know the Bible despite what it might cost us. And so, Lord, encourage your people. Lord, to be aware of the hour of deception. And that, Lord, in the hour of deception, we have an anchor. And that is the Word of God. And obey it no matter what. And may that be so, Lord. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, life is busy. We make all sorts of excuses. There's so many other things to do. But maybe this hunger to know the Bible has been missing from your life. Maybe you're a young person and you read the Bible, but you don't really study it. Maybe you're a believer, but you don't take much time to really penetrate the Bible and have an anchor, you know, planted firmly on the truth. And the Lord is speaking to you tonight about being a student of the Bible and finding the truth of the Bible in these days of deception. And standing for it, no matter what's going on around us. And the Lord has spoken to your heart about that. And there's a decision that you need to make. And tonight would be a good time to really get that settled with the Lord. You need to be in your Bible more. You need to come to church with a greater hunger to read, to listen and to learn. And need to be more aware of the Holy Spirit and Him speaking to your heart. And the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight about being a greater student of the Bible in your life. Anyone here tonight? An important decision in your life? Okay. Good to have many young people making that decision tonight. Amen. Lord, now I pray you bless these young people. Many have raised their hand. It's no little decision, Lord. They can coast along in life and coast along on their parents' shirt coattails, but they got to be men of God on their own. And I pray that there'd be a stirring in their soul to really know the truth and to be able to identify the truth. And to stand for the truth in these days of gray and these days of deception. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.